Well, good morning, brothers. Amen. This thing is a little big. I wish I can just not have this. Maybe after this session, just put a little small table or something. It's like giving a lecture. When I came in, I saw these Fremont brothers sitting in the back, and I was not happy. I said, "Brothers, what are you doing? Is it a habit, or what is this, that you would come to a meeting and just start from the back row, and so the late ones will sit in the front, the early ones will sit in the back?" I said, "I don't understand. Why are you doing this, and where you pick up that kind of habit?" And I said, "Brothers, that's a bad habit." I told them, I said, "This is a bad habit. You better get rid of that habit." Brothers, we don't know how, we are creatures of habit. And there's some good habits, you know. We need good habits. But we also have some not so good habits or even bad habits. And some habits are individual. Other habits are collective. Because everyone does it, you also do it. Actually, the whole thing is a bad habit. And after a while, the whole church pick up your bad habit. The collective bad habit of the leading brothers became a culture in that local church. You don't even know. Actually, it's all wrong and bad and poor habit. So coming to the meetings, because we meet a lot, so meetings are important. So even how we sit, how we come, even the way we sit, where we sit, and how we sit, and how we immediately become active rather than passive, how we exercise the Spirit, how we touch the Lord to sense His anointing. These things should be, these are the good habits we need to build up. So to sit in the back is bad habit. You come to the meeting, right away, look for the front. Just sit in the front. that doesn't mean you're somebody. It has nothing to do with whether you're somebody. That means you're ready to fight. Amen. Every meeting is a fight. You're engaged. You're ready to engage. Sitting there right away is a statement to me, you're disengaged. Especially when there's room in the front. There's still two seats there. The three seats there. The seats still up front. This is not just for this meeting. I'm talking about your church meetings. Why are some of our church meetings lackadaisical, weak, lukewarm? Because the brothers are that way. Nobody cares, just kind of freestyle and relaxed. You know what I mean. There's no sense when you come to the meeting, it's time to fight. It's time to worship. You know, it's time to serve. You know, they call it in Christianity Christian service. Actually, they meant Christian meeting. We don't use the word service. We use the word meeting. But the word service is correct. When we meet, we're here to serve the Lord. Amen. Every one of us. Not just the pastor, not just the associate pastor. It is all of us, according to the word. Every member should function. Every member should function to serve in a meeting, to pray, to sing, to share, whatever, depending on the nature of the meeting and the purpose of that meeting. So without that kind of exercise, I tell you, your church will not be built up. A great part of the building up of a local church life is to build up the meeting life. That's not everything, but that is an important part. So I feel we need to, brothers, exercise to overcome your habit, overcome your disposition, okay? Overcome, keep, that means to stand against your natural inclination, stand against your kind of habitual tendencies, stand against a kind of a, all those not so good things, and have a change. Brothers, have a change. I hope so. All right. Now, this morning, I'd like to, this session, I will do two things. Number one, I'd like to say something to you concerning your stewardship. Your service as a steward in God's household. And number two, then I'd like to say something about a number of things this morning that has to do with the building up of our local church. The building up of our local church. So I will get into that. Now, firstly, I just want to read a few verses, and you can follow me. And I just pull a few verses from Matthew 24. You know, Matthew 24 is a chapter where the Lord talk about his coming, a lot of prophecies, rapture. You know, it's a whole section about the consummation of the age. And then in the section, when he talk about the church, he pay attention to this matter of being watchful and being ready for the Lord's coming, you know, because he will come as a thief, right? We don't know when he will come, and therefore we need to be watchful. But besides that watchful part, by the way, is the life side. I call it the life side. You know, each of us have to live a life that is watchful, waiting for the Lord's return, and to be ready for his coming and not be caught unready and have our house, quote-quote, broken into. But there is a few verses in chapter 24 on the other side, a word to the Christians, to the Christian church. And this side has to do with our service. There's always two sides, life and service, life and service. And this side, concerning our service, the main thing is to be faithful and to be prudent. In our living, it's a matter of being watchful and ready with a view to his coming. And in our service or stewardship, it is a matter of us being faithful and prudent, also with view to his coming back. I'd like to say something, brothers, and that is, don't think our serving today is just we do something, we don't do something, it's okay. Brothers, I want to tell you, the Lord is coming, and he will come. And we come, he said, my reward is with me. There's something called reward, and there's also something called punishment that will be meted out or given out at the judgment seat of Christ. I do not say this to scare us, but this is the Word of God. The Word of God. So this must be taken most seriously. Now, actually, in chapter 25, which follows chapter 24 of Matthew, there are two famous parables, right? The 10 virgins, yeah? And also the 3 slaves. Actually, this matches the second part of chapter 24 on life and on service. The first parable is on the wise virgins, or the five wise virgins. You know, 10 of them are here. Then there are actually, you know, two in Matthew 24, you know, altogether 12. Okay, I'm not getting into some interpretation, but the first parable, again, is on watchfulness, on the light side, as virgins, our status as a betrothed virgin to our one husband. How we need to have our life filled with oil so that we can be qualified to enter into his wedding feast on that day. The second parable has to do with service. Those are the three slaves that were given various amount of talents by the master, who took off, so to speak, for a period of time. We know that period of time. It's the entire church age. But one day he will come back and settle, it says to settle an account with his slaves. And you know the story, how two were appraised, and one, the one with the one talent, who hid the talent and just returned the capital with no interest because he took the easy way and not invest what the Lord has given to him, the master. And so he was duly scolded and eventually punished, that he would be not enter the joy of the Lord, but rather he would be cast out into some kind of dark place, or call outer darkness. And it says in that place there will be the weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, brothers, these are the Lord's own words in parable form. Either you believe or you don't believe it. I believe it wholeheartedly. And I have to live every day according to these things. That's how serious I am with this. And I hope we all are like this. Very, very serious in this matter. Okay, now, I'm not going to talk about those two parables, just these verses in 24. Who then is the faithful and prudent slave whom the master has set over his household to give them food? Them, that means the folks in the household, at the proper time. Blessed is that slave whom his master, when he comes, always remember, the view is at the Lord's coming. When he comes, will find so doing, giving food in a timely way. Truly I say to you that he will set him over all his possessions. That's in the kingdom, the coming age. But if that evil slave, there's an evil one, says in his heart, my master delays, and begins to beat his fellow slaves, and eats and drinks with the drunken, the master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour which he does not know, and will cut him asunder. Very serious sounding word. And appoint his portion with the hypocrites. My goodness. In that place, some kind of place, there will be weeping and the gnashing of teeth. The same as the parable in chapter 25. It's the same. Actually, it is the same thing. Now, we know that, well, let me say it this way. This morning I'm speaking to you, brothers, who are elders, responsible brothers, serving brothers in the Church of God. What is the Church of God? The Church of God is the Church of the Living God, right? It is the household of faith. It is God's family, God's great household. That is the church, the Father's household. And we have been called to be slaves in this household to do what? To give food at the proper time. And so what is to give food? Well, I think we all should know. To give food simply means to minister supply to the folks in this household. Really, that means the believers, the saints, the family of God's household. That's the church. To minister Christ as life to them, to minister the word to them, to the brothers and to the believers in the church. That is the work of a steward. And then, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians, he said, "And of a steward, one thing is required, and that is faithfulness." The top virtue of a steward is faithfulness. So in God's household, it is the same. The same. Faithful and prudent. Faithful is towards God. Prudence is towards man, towards the believers. The watchfulness of a virgin, right? The watchfulness of a virgin would result in this virgin being raptured into the Lord's presence to enjoy the wedding feast. But the faithfulness and prudence of a steward or slave will result in his reigning, the other aspect of the kingdom reward, the positive reward, reigning in the kingdom to even to oversee some of Christ's possessions on the earth. And so I'm not going to expound it. It's very, very clear, the Lord's word here. And that is, there are two kinds of slaves. Those who are faithful and prudent in this way towards God and towards God's people. And also the evil one who did not do that, but he start to beat or mistreat the believers. And also, he eats and drinks with the drunken. That really means that he associates himself with the worldly company, to be filled with the worldly kind of things. That's to be drunken. And, of course, he suffered a kind of a loss on that day by a kind of dispensational punishment for during the kingdom period. Now, brothers, my burden this morning in bringing this up is I want all of us, brothers, as we are learning to serve the Lord, and particularly, I like to say this word to the younger brothers who are starting to serve or learning to serve. that you would get the message from the Lord's parable. I mean, brothers, this is from the Master's own mouth, right? Your Master and mine, it's from his own mouth. He made it explicitly clear what he's looking for. So, here, there's not even the difference in talents. That's another aspect. You know, 5 talent, 2 talent, 1 talent. Here, it does not talk about what talent. It's almost like we're all the same. We're just slaves to serve his household, the church, by our ministry, by our ministering, life supply, the Lord, the Word, all these things to the brothers and sisters. And my burden, brothers, is it's very, very simple. And that is, I am concerned that that we are not committed the way we should be. You know, if you work for Google, right, or Apple, whatever, Facebook, whatever, all these places, of course they pay you a lot, right? But they expect you to work. Am I right? Yeah, they make you some kind of a slave. And you go to work. You better be committed, and you better work hard. They don't mind paying you, as long as you produce, as long as you make money for the company, right? In a certain sense, that's the Lord. The Lord has his own divine enterprise in this universe and on this earth. And do you know that word reward? My reward is with me. And Paul used this word very much, especially if you read 1 and 2 Corinthians, talking about the reward on that day. That word reward actually in Greek means wages, salary, remuneration, recompense, to pay you for your effort, for your labor. That's the reward. So the reward in this sense is something earned, whereas eternal life is a gift. You don't need to work. In fact, there's no work. It is by faith that we are saved. So you cannot even pay for salvation, right? It's priceless. So that's a gift, free gift. But the kingdom, brothers, is not a gift. The kingdom is remuneration. The kingdom is payment. The kingdom is compensation. There's a compensation package. One day. Today it seems, well, no compensation, nothing. But the arrangement of this master is there's a payday of some kind, either positive or not positive. So either you believe that or you don't believe that. Brothers, I like to tell you, today in Northern California, the Lord has, at least in these 5-6 years I've been here, the Lord has done a lot.
Amen.
And I would say to reposition us, to reposition the churches, the brothers, you know, the whole situation. And I would say today in Northern California, we are in a good situation to what? To make money. You agree with me? Do you understand what I mean? To make money, to enterprise for profit for the Lord's interest. We have so many churches. We have so many saints. Now even we have going to have a blending center that costs some millions of dollars. Even we have the precious oneness. That's quite a blessing. Even this oneness is a big, big blessing.
Amen.
We have campuses. We're starting to build up these full-time teams. Last month I was here. We didn't have this meeting. We met with sisters. There was almost 700 sisters. I don't know whether that includes those who we're live streaming to. I don't know. But even though, even just the sisters sitting there in Berkeley Hall, we packed that hall, it's quite a sight. Quite a sight. I call all of these capital assets of the Lord's recovery. Even the financial capacity of Northern California is a great blessing from the Lord. So here we are. Here we are. Now what? What's next? Well, the what's next is go and make money. That's it. Go and make money. Now, here, so-called making money is according to the Lord. That making money is to invest ourselves, and particularly to invest what the Lord has given to each one of us in the way of ability, in resurrection, of course, not just in a natural way, and also with the gift of grace that he has given to us. You know, in your first birth, in the Lord's creating you and me, the Lord endow you in his sovereignty with certain natural ability and capability. Each one of us. It's all different, so don't compare. But each one of us have something. That's in our first birth. In the second birth, the Lord gave us something more. And that is his grace. According to a certain measure of faith. This is something divine. This is what Paul told Timothy, do not neglect the gift of God that is in you, rather fan it into flame. That's the gift. So we have ability from the first birth, and we have a gift of grace in the second birth. These two things combined is the talent. Some 5, some 2, some 1. And our job is to invest this to make a return for the master. And this is a serious, serious thing because he's expecting the return. And those who did not make the return, and of course this is in the case of this evil slave, he didn't prepare the interest. he'd rather prepare a speech. You know, the first two slaves didn't say a word, except, here it is, 100% return. Five talents, here's the five talents. That's it. No speech. The Lord says, go into the joy. The third one, they came, he got a speech prepared. Master, I know your heart. You reap where you didn't sow. You reap where you didn't winnow. I'm scared. So I didn't lose what you've given to me. And here it is. A wonderful speech. The Lord says what? Huh? You evil and slothful slave. That's the opposite of faithful and prudent. Evil. Evil. I mean, that's a heavy word. The Lord didn't even just say you are bad. He says you are evil. That's very bad. And slothful. You know that word. Do not be slothful in zeal. Romans 12. But burning in spirit, serving the Lord as a bond slave. That service there is a slave service, not a priest service. They're two different serve the word in the book of Romans. That service is not a priestly service for worship. That is a slave service to carry out some duty. That means he was slothful. Evil and slothful. If you know, he said, if you know, you wouldn't be doing this. So I said, fear can do two things. It can make you do nothing, or it can motivate you to work very hard. The same master, with two different outcomes, with two different slaves. I like to tell you, brothers and sisters, right now, to me, in Northern California, everything is set. Everything is set. The need now is for the Lord's believers all to go to work. But I'm not speaking to all the believers, all the saints. I'm speaking to us, brothers. Brothers, this is a prime season. Let me tell you, this is a golden moment in Northern Cal. We probably, in the last 50 years, have never had such a golden moment. Maybe I'm too much, because I'm not from here. It's like everything is lining up. You know, what does the Chinese say? This heaven, the earth, and human beings all ready, all in harmony. You know, now is the time to strike, for the army to move, for us to do the work. To enterprise. Now, if at this moment we failed to do that because of our slothfulness, brothers, I don't know about you. I don't know how to face the Lord. The Lord would say, well, you went to Northern California for 6 years, and this is what you have to show? Me, you know, I'm talking about me. This is all you have to show? I bless you so much. This, that, and the other, right? And this is all you have to show? The Lord's possessions is actually his household. the church, the saints. I would even say the sinners that we save, that are all the Lord's possessions. What have you done? I have to face the Lord one day. And let me tell you, no one can stand in your place. You won't have an attorney to argue. You can make your own script and speech. That's your business. There's no advocate at that time, no attorney. You have to face the master who at that time is the judge. I like to tell you that is a great, this incentive is a great motivation for me in my service. I'm not even looking for compensation today. The Lord deliberately reserved the compensation to that day, as if to put us on the test. I believe that day is coming, and I have to face Him. You cannot face the Lord for me. I cannot face the Lord for you. You have to face Him based on what He has given to you. It's not a matter of how many talents. It's a matter of your attitude. Brothers, my burden is, it's time to work. In Northern California, in every local church, brothers, it's time to work. It's time to work. I say a word, especially the retired ones, I don't say much to you because you're retired. I speak to the brothers, especially the younger brothers. And I'm not here scaring you, threatening you. I'm just repeating the Lord's words. That's all I'm doing. Brothers, there are something called window of opportunity. You may not know what a window we're in right now in Northern California. I cannot speak for other parts of the country. Actually, I would say almost the same thing in other places, but particularly here, because the Lord has done something earlier for this number of years. Your church, where you are, is the Lord's possession, temporarily given under your charge and stewardship. One day He's coming to reap, to harvest, to get a result. What have you done? What have you done with your talent? That means what He has gifted to you. And what have you done with His possession? That means the return, the results. We have to answer on these two sides. In the early 80s, Brother Lee started the Chinese-speaking work. I was working. I was an architect working. Even I asked Brother Lee, I did all my intern kind of thing, and I'm about to sit for license, to get a license, California license, which is quite a big deal. 2-day tests, you know, these exams, 4-part exam, day and night. I told Brother Lee, I asked Brother Lee, and I even brought my wife with me to see Brother Lee at his home. Brother Lee, I said, should I take this test? He said, do it. Get licensed, because you never know, that would be useful, you know. And it was based on his word that I took the license. And, of course, I passed, I got license, etc. But very shortly after that, Brother Lee turned around and say, now come and serve. It's like, why did you tell me to get my license? I thought, this is so I can, you know, get on with my career. I was ready to just work and serve 1,000% for the church life, really, you know, really. But Brother Lee, I would say, representing the Lord, at least to me, say no. Drop it. Come and serve. Serve what? In the Chinese speaking world. Firstly, the Chinese-speaking work is not my choice. I can tell you that. Absolutely not my choice. What are we doing Chinese-speaking in America? Brother Lee has always told us, don't do that. To go to Chinatown is to go to hell, right? That's how we were raised up by him. Now it's like he turned 180 degrees and say, Chinese-speaking work. And me, by that time, I forgot half my Chinese. I have to dust off my Chinese Bible. I didn't know the spiritual terminology in Chinese by then. And I never spoke publicly, openly, in what you call Mandarin. Today you call it 普通话. I only spoke Cantonese. So there are a lot of strikes against me. But that's it. I'll tell you, in the 80s, I began to serve and work. And not in a way of boasting, but humbly just giving my testimony. I'm thankful to a mentor like Brother Lee, who is like the Lord, the hard master. Okay? I told people, if you don't know Brother Lee, you think he's a teddy bear. If you know Brother Lee, he's another kind of bear, okay? I tell you, whenever I get the call and summoned, I'm shaking in my boots. You know what he wants? Results to his co-workers. He won results. Your worker, results. I'll tell you, the last thing you want to do is to prepare a speech to give to Brother Lee. Okay? That's the last thing. Now, he is very tender, very kind to all kinds of saints, and he will listen to their speeches all day long. But he will never listen to mine. And I never give one. I couldn't dare give one. He gave us his own testimony again and again of how in China, when he was under Watchman Nee, he was the only co-worker who never have an opinion. He said, all I know is just work. Amen. Whatever Watchman Nee say, he just work. He was known for that. Everyone has something to say, have some opinion to offer. Even Brother Nee would ask, and there would be response. When Brother Lee asks, he has no response. You tell me what to do, and I'm going to do it. And he worked himself to death. That's my mentor, Brother Lee. So he is an embodiment, if you may say so, of that. What is the other slave? The faithful and prudent slave. Towards God, and towards God's church, God's people. That's Witness Lee. Next year I'll be 70. It's exactly right now, my age, that Brother Lee started his life studies. You think about that. It took him 23 years. I think that is itself right there, to give food at the appointed time. That's him. Rain, shine, turmoil, no turmoil, he kept working. Without which, we may not be sitting here today. All he knew is to redeem the time, to make a profit for the recovery, for the Lord's interest. And how hard he worked, you can only imagine. And we are the beneficiaries. We sit here and enjoy, right? Go to the training. Even we complain about going to the training, having to sit there and listen to him talk. Brothers, I have no magic bullet for you. I have no fancy advice for you at this point, for your church. I have just one word. Work. That means what? That means give yourself. That means be available. That means be totally committed. That means to prioritize the church before anything else. You know, for 9 years, I think I told you, I was in a different church from my wife and my kids. Nothing I would recommend. I don't know today the millennials can handle that. But thank the Lord for my helpmeet, for my partner, my wife, because of the love of God and her, you know, submissiveness to the Lord, I was able to serve in that kind of a way. No enumeration, no pay, no compensation, no accolades. Brotherly never say a word to pat me on the back. Not a word. Brothers, this is the perfect moment for you to rise up and serve. This morning I was praying early. I drank too much tea again, so woke up early. I said, Lord, what about some brothers now giving up their jobs and serve? Like I did, like some of us did. I got a career. I was starting a business. It's not like I have nothing to do. I have a little capacity, I think. If you see God's enterprise versus Google, okay, you make that comparison, or I use Google just illustrate your career, your worldly accomplishments and gain, which I don't say that's bad. It's not a matter of good or bad. It's a matter of what do you see as really important? Your career, your family, your life accomplishment. That's why the Lord used certain incentive and disincentive, actually, about the coming kingdom. In his great wisdom, there's something called the kingdom. If we're all going to heaven, no kingdom, then hey, just do wherever whatever we want. We'll see you in the heaven, right? But no, there is something called the kingdom. Clear, very clear in the Word of God. Brothers, the lack here is not talent. The lack here today is not ability. The lack here today is givenness, practical availability. To serve the Master and his household. Everything is ready. Everything is ready. You raised up here, right? A few months ago. How much money for Addis Ababa? $400,000. Huh?
Over 300,000
within a short time, right. not a long time.
About a month.
2 months,
yeah.
Or whatever.
A month.
I took the burden for the Bibles, not for the training, for the Bibles. I told you to DC, Mid-Atlantic. And within 3 weeks, they raised about 40,000 just for the Bibles, just like that. But you raise up a lot more. But I'll tell you, even that consecration of your money cannot compare with the consecration of your time.
Amen.
The need today is workers. The field is vast. The harvest is white. Even in the United States, everything is ready to go. Where are the workers? The Lord say, pray to the Master, the Lord of the harvest, that he would thrust out the workers into his field. That's what we're short of. So Brother Lee's not here. So I'm somewhat inheriting Brother Lee's burden to speak this word to you. And he spoke like this to us over and over again. Don't dream, oh my goodness, if we would just do something here, do something there, our church will be built up and prevailing. I'm going to tell you, it's not going to happen that way. Dream does not make things happen. It's sweat. It's work. It's commitment. In gospel preaching, in shepherding of the saints, in the ministry of the word, in all manners of dispensing of the food to God's household. It needs people. Did I tell you, after Brother Lee called us to serve that way, he, in his own signed check, gave me a check every month. But because no one is, in those days, no full-timers. So he would write a check. I still remember every month I get a check from him. Because he's responsible. And after a year, I don't remember something, even that check stopped coming. That was it. I'll tell you to this day, this is now almost 40 years. 35 years in the service. Do I have regrets? Do I have complaints? I'll testify by the Lord's grace. No. No. I look at others who, my contemporaries, made it this way, did it that way, whatever. But from early on, we're helped to keep our eye on the kingdom.
Amen.
In the kingdom. That means at the judgment seat.
Amen.
Of Christ. That's where it counts. That decision is the decision. Not your boss, not the world. They don't have the final decision. That's the master. What he says, the grade he gives. You know what I mean? That's the main thing. I believe, well, look, Paul. Right at the end, 2 Timothy, he said what? He said what? I've run the race, I fought the fight, I've what? Finished the course. Henceforth, listen, henceforth there will be a crown reserved for me and those who love his appearing. Now I'll tell you, even Paul was incentivized by the kingdom, by the kingdom. So, I don't know what is this call here. What time is it?
10:10.
So. You know, the slave here, if my master delays. I remember I went through struggle to make that decision. And always the thinking is, you know, when I'm 50, you know, I'll self-support myself. I won't burden the church. I'll be ready then. You know, delay the thought of just when everything is ready. Well, I'll tell you, with the Lord, he doesn't think that way. When the master calls, that's the time you're ready. He determines your readiness, not your planning and figuration. Now you say, well, Minoru Chen, I don't have the kind of talent or gift like you. know, this and that. I just have a little something, and I'm in this little local church, and that doesn't need some full time or this kind of work hard. It's just a little church. Well, I beg to differ. That church that you're in is the Lord's possession.
Amen. Amen.
Given, put under your stewardship.
Amen.
Your stewardship. The outcome depends on you. The group of brothers that coordinate together. We can talk a lot about things. I can give you outlines. I can give you advice. I can give you this way, that way, do this, do that. And then we need to talk about that. But I tell you, at the end of the day, all that, without the labor, doesn't mean much. You may not even have any advice, but you labor hard, something will come out. The Lord didn't say, you smart slave. It's not smartness. It's faithfulness to your commission. It's prudence. That means, you know, prudent means doesn't mean smart. Prudence means appropriate. You know? A kind of a wisdom in appropriateness. That fits the environment, that fits the occasion, that fits the time. He calls prudence is called for. This is where we are, brothers, right now, in Northern California. I think this is a pivotal moment. I was thinking, you know, David, do I still keep coming here every month? I'm committed this year, so don't worry, this year, 2019. I'm talking about next year. Next year will be my seventh year, if you count from the fall of 2013. Next year will be the seventh year. And there's much need elsewhere, much need. The Midwest, the South, you know, Bible Belt, or all of that stuff. It's not just Northern California. And I'm not getting younger, right? When will this end? When will these monthly trips end? I tell you, we need a handoff. We need a handoff. Brothers, it's time for you to step up. I do my part. I do what I can do. But I'll tell you, what I can do does not measure up to what you can do collectively. I've done a lot of heavy lifting in these last 6 years. Heavy lifting. The Lord knows this situation, that situation, this, then the other. Now, you, the local brothers, you must rise up. Even if you're not going full time. I am putting this out here, out there. For brothers, you brothers, to consider. If you wait until my age to go full time, you don't have much fuel left to serve. You can't. You know, so brothers who retire to serve, that's wonderful. Don't think I'm against that. That's wonderful. Wonderful to serve when you retire. Wonderful. The more, the better. But there's something in Psalm 110 that says the splendor of consecration is the dew of the womb in the morning. The young men would give Christ a drink, right? Psalm 110. There's something about a splendor, a odor, an aroma of consecration that only that comes from young men or young people. That is particularly satisfying to Christ. That particularly quenches thirst in the days of war. Brothers, consider your life. What is valuable? What is priority? What is meaningful? And whether we go full time or we don't, brothers, in your respective localities, I would say it's time to labor. Don't just do the bare minimum. Don't just make maintenance your goal. You know, maintaining the routine. You know, there's still elders who don't meet. What do you expect your church? How do you expect your church to advance? There's no labor. No thought of labor, just, you know, giving the announcement or whatever to just keep the hall clean. And of course, we need, but those things are easy. I'm talking about laboring for the saints, praying for them, laboring in the word to minister to them, visiting the saints one by one, preaching the gospel, bringing in the new ones, build up the small home groups, build up the saints, and shepherd. I tell you, those are all time-consuming activities. Just in a church. Forget about traveling or anything. Just in your church. And in Irvine, since the time I went there, that's what I did. Just put on the blinders. Forget the universe. I'm here to build up a model as much as I can. And that's a lot of work. A lot of work. This aspect, that aspect, this area, that area. Okay, what time? We should end, huh? Am I right? If we treat the church like we treat our job, I tell you, something will happen. But we don't. The job is the main thing. The church, when I have time. Leftover time, I'll go to church and do some service. That's how the church will be, because that's our attitude. These people, startups, they eat, breathe, sleep, swallow. You know? Then something is built up. Easy. The hall is there, some saints are there, we go to some meetings and say a few words and give a little prophecy, announcement, and very good life. I tell you, that church will just be like that. I would not say the Lord won't bless it, I don't think so. The Lord will bless, He reigns everywhere. you, brothers and sisters, and brothers in Northern Cal, have been given a tremendous possession, this area. Every church is a tremendous possession. Not yours. It's not yours, by the way. It's his. But you have been called a slave or a steward. It's not about your interest. It's about his interest. These are not your saints. These are his saints. So, this is the talk I have this morning, the first session. Nothing high, nothing deep. Just to set before you the situation. I mean, look. South Bay, West Bay, North Bay, East Bay, Southeast Bay, whatever. Central Valley, Central Coast, the most populous state in the Union, the center of technology, the economy, tech economy. People moving in here, tons of millennials, Generation Z is now coming up when they graduate from college. And the Lord has done this in these years, trainings and this, that, and the other. Brothers, then we sit here. I'm not saying we're doing nothing, okay, please. I'm not condemning you for doing nothing. No, you're all doing something. But how much more can this kingdom of the Lord advance his testimony? And the way to build up the body is to build up the local churches.
Amen.
The aggregate of the local churches in time and space is the body. So build the body is very in the air. Build the body. Well, how do I build up the body? Well, you build up the body by building up your local church. One church at a time. And in the church are saints. So you build up one saint at a time. That's how you build up the body. We need shepherds, we need feeders, we need, I tell you, even to build up the groups takes a lot of time and energy.
Amen.
Go on. That's easy. But to really get into it and build this up, well, I tell you, that takes a lot of consideration, prayer, fellowship, coordination, visits, fellowship. To maintain a schedule, Sunday, whatever. You know, for us brothers to be a no-show is the greatest morale damage. The saints look. Don't think the saints don't look.
Mm.
The saints are always looking at, especially the front row. They look. Then you are spotty, you are no show. I tell you, brothers, please forgive me, huh? I can already predict what that church will be like just by that. Just by that. Okay? I'm not scolding. If anything, I think I'm speaking from my heart. And I believe there's something of the Lord's heart. And time is not always on your side, brothers. Don't think, oh, I can wait a little bit, delay a little bit. We'll see. I found out when the Lord calls, that's it. Either you respond or you don't. That's how the Lord operates, it seems. The Master, that's how He operates. We say we love the Lord. Right? We do. We all do. But that love needs to express itself in a practical way. We love the saints, don't we? We all love the saints. But that love needs to be demonstrated in a practical way. So far, I will tell you, I consider my service here with you all the last few years to be crucial to my service in the whole country because of my learnings here and my labor here, so many things in the other parts of the country. And I thank the Lord still for the brothers here and the situation here that allows something to take place. But that first phase is about over. NorCal, we are going into the next phase now. The next phase is not me coming and giving more advice. And I'll do my part, but no, I'll tell you no. The next phase is you in your local church to start building so that every church will be a little model. Right? I gave you 30 points 6 years ago on how to build up. I wrote that one afternoon while in Hyatt, was it Hyatt, where we had that revival conference, renewal, something like that. Just one afternoon, I wrote it all down. And David Chow was sitting there. I said, I dictated to him, write it down. So he wrote it down, and we printed it out. That is my blueprint. You say, no, we need more help. I still don't know what to do. I tell you, no. You know more than enough. You need to now learn by doing.
Amen.
Apply Amen. What you have heard.
Amen.
You don't need to know more. You don't need to get more tips and more pointers and more guidelines. You have plenty of that. You just need now to apply them earnestly, faithfully. And you will learn a lot.
Amen.
Most of my learning is by doing. A lot by Brother Lee. And Brother Lee gave us the best tips. But his tips only go so far. If I just sit there and take notes. He wants me to go do it. And then you will learn and find out by labor. The Lord is waiting. All the saints are waiting here. You may say, waiting on us. How will we respond to this? I stop here.
Amen.
Maybe we can have a little prayer and then we can have a break, huh?